What you are about to hear, the views and opinions expressed on the Philip D. Blackman Show do not reflect the views of this station. You have been warned.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Philip D. Blackman Show, the fastest hour in radio. Join us right here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. Friends, get your minds right because we make no apologies for what you are about to hear.
Yeah.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, hello, hello, man. We are here. We are live. Happy Monday, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Philip D. Blackman Show. I'm your host, Philip D. Blackman, and welcome to the fastest hour on radio. So I'm sitting here thinking, right? I've been thinking, you know, what would be a good topic to cover for a mental health show, especially considering, man, all the things that's going on in this country. Well, I think I got it. You know, life's full of peaks and valleys. You know, with really so much that's thrown at us, you know, it is beyond our control. Let's just be honest. But, you know, although we don't have complete control of our lives, I really believe that with time, we can develop our resilience. We can develop that resilience to overcome life's greatest challenges. Now, in order to see the next day, we got to maintain that strong resilience in our lives to ensure that not only just our own survival and our happiness, but our most important attribute, right? That 6 inches between your earlobes, that gray matter that we call your brain, that mental health. So tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to examine our own resilience, and we're going to try to do our best to provide ways for you to build that important mental muscle in your mind. But friends, before we do, I want to go ahead and throw it out there and let you know that we are live right now on all of our social media platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Facebook at philipdblackman.com, YouTube, once again, at the Philip D. Blackman Show. We're live on Twitter at the PDB Show, as well as, surprise, surprise, we're live and well right over here on LinkedIn. So guys, we are all over social media. We are all over the radio stations right now. Thank you so much for joining us. If you want to leave a comment, you want to participate in the show in any way, social media are great options. That way you put your comments up, I can put them on the board, and we can have the conversation as needed. Or you can call or text the show at any time by calling the number on my screen. That is 409-245-9753 for my listeners across the airwaves. Again, that number is 409-245-9753. So again, to all my listeners across the nation around the globe, thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate you joining me for this episode number 281. This is our Mental Health Monday show tonight, friends. We are talking about resilience. So for my first-time listeners, we've dedicated the opening segment of each show, and we call it End of Watch. Now, this is our way of honoring our fallen men and women in the law enforcement community. Last year, 2021, we had 639 officers die in the line of duty. And as of this show, we've lost 169, which means we picked up two over the weekend. Now, we get these numbers from the Officer Down Memorial page. That is the most up-to-date, real-time information we have. So if the numbers are different by one or two, yeah, this is what we have. If you've got any ideas of better places that may actually show the more accurate numbers, by all means, let us know. But if you've ever been to the Officer Down Memorial page, there's a statement right there at the very top, right below all the officers' names. And the statement says that when a police officer is killed, it's not just an agency that loses an officer, it is an entire nation. Yeah, we agree. You know, we honor all of our officers who serve. We appreciate their service. We appreciate their sacrifice. But this segment right here is designed specifically for those in the law enforcement community who have given their lives in service of their community, given their lives in service of their country. And we honor them every Monday, and we honor them all week, beginning with our Monday show. This week, friends, this one's a tough one. We're going to be honoring Pima County, Arizona's Constable Office, Constable Deborah Martinez Gurabe, in this opening segment, End of Watch.
The Philip D. Blackman Show proudly salutes Constable Deborah Martinez Garibay, 43, of the Pima County Constable's Office in Arizona, who was shot and killed on August 25, 2022, while serving an eviction notice at an apartment complex. Constable Martinez Garibay served her department for just 5 short months. She also spent 16 years in the United States Army and ran the Tucson chapter of an adaptive golf program for veterans called PGA United States Hope. Army. When asked in a March interview by the Star why she wanted to join Pima County Constable's office, she said, "I just felt it was wrong for me to sit at home when I knew that I could contribute. I knew that I had to go serve my country, and it's the same thing with serving my community. I can see a need. For me to sit and watch things happening in my community or my country and not take part is wrong." Constable Martinez Garibay is survived by her husband, daughter, parents, siblings, and numerous nieces and nephews. On behalf of the Philip D. Blackman Show and a grateful nation, thank you for your service, Constable Martinez Garibay. Pima County, Arizona Constable Deborah Martinez Garibay. End of watch, August 25th, 2022. Rest in peace, ma'am.
We are proudly sponsored by One of a Kind Art 43, created by professional artist Tammy Blackman. Tammy offers free consultations and will customize your art piece to fit your needs. Each of her pieces are, as the name suggests, is one of a kind because each are personalized pieces, and once she is done, there will never be another. If you are interested, go visit Tammy on her social media pages, Facebook and TikTok, by searching One of a Kind Art 43, where Tammy broadcasts her work and she's making custom tumblers or canvas art for another satisfied customer. You can always reach out to Tammy through her email at oneofakindart43@gmail.com or call 409-234-5156. Although the prices vary, the quality is unmatched. Again, her social media pages are one of a kind with underscores between each word, followed by the word art and the number 43. Thank you again, Tammy, for another presence on this show.
Since I was born, I dreamed of being a Budweiser Clydesdale. Only problem is, I was born a donkey. So all my life, I practiced the Clydesdale walk and the Clydesdale pull. I even tried hair extensions on my lower legs. And then came my big interview. They looked me in the eye and said, "What makes you think you can be a Clydesdale, son?" And what was my answer? I must have said something, right?
You know, that commercial, I chose that one specifically because that one is really about what we're talking about today, right? Resilience. You know, so imagine, 409-245-9753 is the number, the show Mental Health Monday, Resilience. I'm Philip Blackman, Fast Hour on Radio. Guys, welcome to the show. So imagine that you're taking a trip, I don't know, like a trip down a river, a raft, okay? So along with the slow water and the shallows, you know, your map shows that you're going to encounter some unavoidable rapids and turns. How would you make sure that you can safely cross through those waters and hurdle any unexpected problems that come from that challenge? Now, perhaps you may enlist the support of more experienced rafters as you plan your route, or you rely on your companionship of trusted friends along the way. Maybe you would even pack an extra life jacket or consider using a stronger raft. You'd prepare. You know, with the right tools and supports in place, one thing is for sure. You're not going to make it through the challenges of your river adventure unless you have the things that you need to get it done. You're also going to emerge a more confident and courageous individual after you're done. Why? Well, it's resilience. You know, life may not come with a roadmap. Yeah, and I take that back. For most people, the life doesn't come with a roadmap. For people like me, the Holy Bible is my roadmap, but it doesn't answer all my questions. But everyone, one thing we do know is everyone is going to experience twists and turns. You know, everyday challenges to traumatic events with more lasting impact, like the death of a loved one, a life-altering accident, or even a serious illness. You know, each change, it affects people differently. It brings a very unique flood of thoughts, strong emotions, uncertainty. But yet there's people, generally, they adapt well over time to life-changing situations and stressful situations. And in part, I believe, that's thanks to resilience. You know, psychologists, they define resilience as a straight up and down process of adapting well in the face of adversity, trauma, tragedy, threats, or even a significant source of stress, such as family and relationship problems. You know, if you've never had any of those, call me and I'll tell you about it, what they feel like. Or serious health problems. Maybe you have the stress from the workplace and financial stresses. Who knows? But as much as resilience involves bouncing back from the difficult experiences, it can also really involve a profound personal growth. But you got to be willing to look for it. You got to be willing to invest in it. Yeah, well, these adverse events, you know, much like going through those river waters, you know, they're painful, they're difficult. But they don't have to determine the outcome of your life. You are more than your circumstances. If you're in the business of taking notes, if you like, if you want something to crochet on a pillow, that is the line right there. You are more than your circumstances. You know, there's so many aspects of your life that you can control, you can modify, you can grow. That's the role of resilience. Becoming more resilient, it not only helps you get through difficult circumstances, but it also empowers you to grow and even really improve your life along the way. But being resilient, it doesn't mean that a person's not going to experience difficulty, God no, or even distress. You know, people who've suffered major adversity or trauma in their lives, they commonly experience an emotional pain and emotional stress. I mean, as a matter of fact, the road to resilience, it's likely to involve a considerable amount of pain, suffering, and distress. Just like wisdom, just like success, you're not going to have any of those unless you learn to go through the fire. You have to. You know, without certain factors, you know, or I should say while certain factors, they might make some individuals more resilient than others. Resilience, it isn't necessarily a personality trait that only some people possess. We all have it. I mean, on the contrary, I guess, the resilience, it involves behaviors, it involves thoughts, actions, and anyone can learn and develop these muscles. They can exercise these muscles, but they got to get to work on them. You know, the ability to learn resilience, it's one reason that research, I guess, has shown that resilience is ordinary. It's not extraordinary. You don't have to be special to be resilient. Just practice. You know, one example, I think, but besides COVID, you know, a lot of people develop their resilience muscles during COVID, during the lockdowns and even the recovery. But the one that I always go to when I do speeches and discussions on resilience is the September 11 terrorist attacks. You know, and watching individuals' efforts to rebuild their lives after such a horrific tragedy. You know, it's like building a muscle, you know, increasing your resilience. It takes time and intentionality, focusing on four core components: connection, well-being, healthy drinking, and meaning. You know, these things, they can empower you to withstand and learn from difficult and even traumatic experiences. How can you and I increase our capacity for resilience to weather any storm, grow from any difficulty, and persevere when the weight of the world feels like it's sitting on your shoulders and it's making it just feel like life is just way too difficult to take one more step up that ladder to get you out of that hole that you feel that you're in? And I think that right there is the conversation that we need to have in this segment, The Breakdown. You know, if you ever watched my shows or you've listened to my podcast, you know, or you've ever even been an audience member when I'm giving a speech, you've probably heard one of my favorite character traits that I usually give myself during the opening segment of my icebreaker, right? Hello, my name is Philip Blackman, and I am a professional noticer. You know, it's not something that I say to get a laugh, though it usually does get a few chuckles. I mean, some attribute it to my career as a bomb technician in the Army. You know, some contribute it to being a dad, while others contribute my character trait as maybe a hypervigilance to survival. You know, I contribute to a survival trait itself because of my life as a child growing up in an abusive home. Now, maybe there is some semblance of truth to all of them. Yeah, I don't tell my story very often because it does at times sound a little bit like a hit country record. You know, I've lost friends and vehicles and family and friends and significant others, a couple of dogs along the way, and a couple of wives. But, you know, I want to give you a Reader's Digest version of my life, and it goes something like this. When I was a child, before the age of 10, I had to learn what murder was because my uncle murdered a man. And he was convicted of capital murder, and he was sentenced to death by lethal injection. My parents divorced, which meant my stepfather, you know, used to take out the frustrations of his life and his disappointments by beating the hell out of me anytime and every time that I made a mistake, no matter how big or small. You know, sometimes just walking through the room was enough to piss him off and remind him that, you know, it's been a couple of days since he's got to pour out his emotional cup and frustration all over my little human body, right? I was a convenient outlet. But I also gained a stepmother at the other house, right? Who, she didn't have the ability to mimic what my stepfather did physically, but she understood how to weaponize the roid rage of my sperm donor and to have him do her bidding by giving me the beatings that made up for the infractions or transgressions against her delicate sensibilities. So it was always a two-for-one deal at that house. You know, she'd lie and she'd manipulate and she'd engage in psychological warfare against a child, constantly reminding me that I was not wanted in her life or their life, and that she could send me to a military school just like that. I mean, eventually I accepted her offer. You know, I didn't think military school could be any worse than the current hell that I was living in. But unfortunately, right, once she realized that I'd rather be at a military school than to be around her, she took the deal completely off the table, and she continued her mental abuse until her and my sperm donor divorced. And of course, with him working 12-hour shifts at a strip mine in Northeast Texas and his desire to be a womanizer, I spent a whole lot of my childhood alone. You know, my coaches, they became my fathers. My teachers became my mothers during the school hours, but after that, I was on my own, and I knew it. I wanted to die. As a kid, you know, that's a horrible thing to say. I wanted to die. Even I knew that there had to be something at such a young age. There had to be something out there that was better than what I was living in. After so many years of abuse in the most important developmental time of my life, I learned how to take a physical punch from some adults, and I learned how to absorb the verbal venom that can be spewed from others. I got used to picking myself up off the ground for only two reasons. Well, I suppose one, if I stayed on the ground, I knew that I presented an easy target for that continued abuse because history had proven that to be true. If you don't get up and take off running, you're going to get another kick. Yeah, I learned that early in history. It is the best teacher. A moving target is a hard target to hit. And second, I had to learn how to pick myself up because I recognized the only one who cared about me was me. And rock bottom was one lonely place. I couldn't tell anybody what was going on at home out of fear of retaliation, so I had to keep it all to myself. I had to learn how to process it in my preteen years. I was embarrassed of my bruises. I was afraid to show them to anyone because that is when questions started getting asked. And that's not a road that I was willing to travel on the worn-out tires that I had. So out of self-preservation, I kept it all to myself, and I stayed recluse. Because I moved around so much as a kid, I didn't have any friends, and I didn't bother making any because I knew that my time with them was probably going to be temporary and goodbyes just hurt. My load was mine to carry, alone. So I figured that I might as well figure out how to get it done by myself because I couldn't depend on the adults who were supposed to be looking out for me. I had adults tell me on a constant basis that I was nothing. I would never be anything in this life. I was trash. No one wanted me. But I knew one thing. God loved me. And that's why I enjoyed going to church so much, right? You know, on Sundays, I got to hear about God's grace and the love and the miracles that he performed. And I just knew one day God is going to bless me. And I held out hope that he at least had one more miracle that he was saving just for me. You know, as a kid, we had the ability to create the environment that we want to fill in the blank spots of our lives through dreams. And the most powerful force on the planet, hope. Hope's how I started each day. And with it, I inadvertently created a habit because every day I start out with hope. I created the habit of hope because I was searching for something. I was holding on to hope that today is not going to be the day I'm going to get my young ass kicked. Any day where I didn't get yelled at or smacked upside the head for a minor infraction, that was a good day. And I learned to cherish them because they were so rare. I embraced them. I remember the good days. I remember what the good days looked like, and that's what got me through the bad ones. You know, looking for just one more good day. You know, hope is the only thing that I could afford as a child. I wasn't willing to give it away to anyone else in the name of people who didn't care about me. Hope was mine, and it was mine alone. That's all I had to my name. It was my gift to myself. And for me, hope is what kept me going. I didn't know it then, but you know, looking back at the wisdom of 43 years now, I recognize what I was doing by holding on to hope with both hands when it felt like everyone wanted me to let go just to watch me crumble and fail. I was building muscle, that muscle called resilience. And I did it purely out of survival and necessity. And it got really strong. The harder these adults, the harder these people pushed me, the harder these kids pushed me, the harder I held on. That is resilience. Yeah, I believe we have a resilience problem in this world. But nowhere more important, nowhere near, you know, more apparent than in this nation, the United States, in our society, a well-developed country, instead of some third world place that you couldn't point out to on a map. You know, that idea seems kind of productive because most people, they don't have to worry about where your next meal is going to come from. Chances are you're not at the risk of dying from dysentery or diarrhea, right? You probably have a smartphone and you binge watch Netflix. In terms of absolute wealth, the bottom 5% of the American income distribution, it is still richer than 68% of the world's inhabitants. And yet, with a straight face, we still complain. And everything is a crisis. The sky is always falling. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a resilience problem. And we could do something about it if we only just took the time to get a little bit uncomfortable and do the work. Yeah, I believe the reason that we have a resilience problem is because we live in a world that we're no longer designed for. Think about that. Technology has gotten us, we've gotten too smart for our own good. You know, I appreciate that this is a very simplistic explanation, so there's going to be other factors and reasons involved, absolutely. But I want to outline what I believe to be the foundation of the resilience problem. So what I want to do is I want to take you back to the start. Life. You know, life in the form of a single-cell organism, it originated about 3.5 billion years ago. The problem with that figure is it doesn't mean too much for us. It's hard to comprehend because we're not fluent in such big numbers because we rarely use them. So let's make it easy to understand. If the story of our evolution were to be written in a book with 1,000 years per page, that would be about 350,000 page book. And this book would be roughly the thickness of a 40-story building, you know, something like that. Homo sapiens, you know, human beings, you know, as we call them, we arrived in the last 200,000 to 300,000 years, roughly the last 20 to 30 pages of our world history book. So relatively, we are relatively new to this world. And the point is that evolution, it is a slow process. It takes millions of years for slight advantages to be transferred through natural selection. So we really haven't changed much in the last 20,000 years. So consider the last 200 to 300 years since the Enlightenment. What's happened? Well, we've moved away from the belief in God towards a belief in science. You know, this change in our belief, it's underpinned by the Industrial Revolution, the incredible rate of progress that followed. You know, our world has changed immeasurably since then. If you were an alien and you were reading this 350,000-page Story of Life on Earth book, most of it would probably be pretty dull. You know, it'd be about 350,000 pages of birth, survival, procreation, death, repeat. You know, the last 3 to 4 pages of the book, that's where the interest comes in for our history. You know, the birth of society, democracy, Christ, the Roman Empire. All of this stuff takes place just in the last few pages of our book. The Enlightenment, you know, it happens in the last paragraph of the last page. The world has changed incredibly in just the last 100 years. The trouble is that we haven't. The world has, but we haven't. You know, we've remained largely the same as the tribes who wandered the plains of Africa 20,000 years ago. You know, there's 3 modern inventions that have been developed that have significantly impacted our health and our ability to be resilient. The light bulb, the car, and the modern diet. You know, they're incredibly helpful to allow us to do great things, but at a hidden cost, often to our health and our resilience. All right, so I want to hit some of these comments before we continue on. Laura Hurlow says, when you told a lot more of your story on John B. Wells, Shaw, I was blown away. Well, Laura, again, that's not, I don't typically like to share my story, but, you know, Tammy tells me that I should do it more because there is a benefit in it. So we got a Stoic Silence out of over on, my God, what is this? Twitch says, the whole Western world has become mentally weak, my man. Life is too easy and we are becoming too comfortable. Good Lord. Stoic Silence, I don't know if you're he or she, but regardless, chest bump yourself because that's brilliant right there. You're absolutely right. We have become mentally weak. We have become a world of complainers, and man, that is a great, great line. I appreciate that. So why do I say the light bulb has kind of really hurt us? You know, and just stay with me here. You know, when you think about it, the light bulb, it gives us the ability to control night and day. For billions of years, when it got dark, human beings, we went to sleep. Now we stay awake, working, checking social media, watching Netflix. You know, Matthew Walker's book, if you've never read it, it's called Why We Sleep. It's a huge book. It's an amazing book. I recommend anyone who wants to learn about who we are, or learn about who you are, I strongly recommend pick it up. But what Matthew Walker's book, it highlighted the fact that we're suffering from an epidemic of sleep deprivation. You know, we've never really experienced this before, so the long-term effects are poorly understood, like they were with smoking in the 50s. You know, the cars, mass transit systems mean that we no longer have to walk as far as we used to. We exercise less, leaving our cardiovascular system and muscles to rot while we sit in chairs for 8 to 10 hours a day. We fix mobility issues such as lower back pain with drugs, and we reward ourselves for going to the gym by eating and drinking in excess. We've confused the difference between what hurts and what harms us. Yeah, donuts and booze feel good, but they harm you. Exercise, it often hurts, but it's good for you. I mean, if you know how your body is designed to work, watch a child pick something off the floor. It's a perfect squat. That same technique that you see Olympic lifters use, what you watch them demonstrate. How do most adults lift, right? By bending at the back because their hamstrings are so tight because they don't take care of themselves. And the last point that I think that really has hurt our growth as a human species is the modern diet. It's abysmal. I mean, it is abysmal. In my humble opinion, this is one of the biggest failings of the 21st century. Capitalism has managed to lift up millions of people out of poverty, but it gives us what we want, not what we need. We need the high fat, the high sugar food from an evolutionary perspective. It makes complete sense. That primal part of your brain, which controls the significant amount of your behavior, it hijacks your good intentions and it tells you to load up on calories because you don't know when you're going to get to eat again. For millions of years, this model, you know, it worked really good. You know, it kept our ancestors alive long enough to reproduce. I mean, in the modern developed world where food sources are plentiful, it's led to obesity and a spike in type 2 diabetes. You know, the organic food, which was just called food, you know, a couple hundred years ago, it's been made up of niche and it's expensive. We eat what we want rather than what we're designed to eat. We're kind of We're like a self-help book, but in reverse. All right, so Stoic Silence says, I am a he, ex-British military, and I roll my eyes to people around me and how they can't cope without fast food, mobile phones, and social media. That is their idea of living hard. All right, first off, Stoic Silence, sir, thank you so much for your service to your country. Thank you so much for you know, signing up for something bigger than you. Thank you so much for joining my show, for weighing in. And you're absolutely right. I've got to work with a lot of you guys over in Iraq, and man, I've never met a better class of war fighter than the Brits. And sir, again, I just can't say thank you enough. But what's our solution, right? You know, the simple solution, I guess, is to understand, but difficult to implement. And it requires a deeper understanding of this evolutionary brain, which I'm not going to go into right now. But we all know the answers. Get 7 hours of sleep, lift heavy stuff with your legs, get yourself into a state so you're out of breath, and eat healthily. So if a caveman could find it, you can eat it, right? I mean, simple doesn't make it easy, though. I mean, I think that the first thing that you consider is your current behavior. If you carry a behavior like this, where is it going to take you? What impact is your behavior having on those around you? You lead by example at home and in the office. So what sort of examples are you setting? And at this point, you know, in the military, we have this thing like, what does good look like? What does right look like? You know, you got to create these standards, and you got to process for how you live your life. Discipline, it's not an art form, and people are not born with it. It's a habit, and like all habits, it can be built or it can be broken, but you have the power to make that decision. All right, so Tammy in the chat, she writing out to Stoic, sir, thank you for your service. Laura Harlow chimes in. She says, there's definitely a benefit in it. All these people you must have helped, the ripples stretch far and wide. We can only hope that we do leave some type of, we leave the world a better place than we found it, Laura. You know, there's several components to resilience, but the foundational one is looking after yourself. You know, you're a high-performance, highly evolved organism. You know, you're a Formula One race car. You wake up in the morning, you piss excellence, right? But you're in a demolition derby. That's the problem. Yeah, you can be a highly tuned machine, but you're in a demolition derby, an environment for which you are hopelessly unprepared. Nothing in this segment that I'm doing right now, it's complicated. It's simple, but that doesn't make it easy. If it was easy, then everyone would be doing it, and we wouldn't be struggling to manage the challenges that we're facing with the modern world, and we sure as hell wouldn't be covering mental health every Monday. You know, perhaps creating that habit of holding on to hope, maybe that was my way as a child of looking after myself, and I just really haven't stopped. Hope is always on the way. It's always available for you to grab onto. If you're looking, no one can give you hope. No one can give you resilience. That is something you're going to have to gift to yourself because you love yourself enough to care about your well-being. And if you don't care about your well-being, then it might be time to start taking inventory of your life. And if you don't know how to get that done, I'm always available to help coach you forward. You're always more than your circumstances. That's the second time I've said it in this episode. I learned that lesson early. And it might be time to remind yourself that you are more than what your circumstances dictate. And that's the breakdown. Ladies and gentlemen, again, as always, social media platforms, I would love to carry on a conversation, Stoic Silence. Shoot me a private message, either right there on Twitch or over on any social media platform that I'm broadcasting on. I would love to speak with a British military person. I'd love to speak to another veteran from another country. Maybe for another mental health episode, if you're interested, I'd love to have you on, because I think you could bring something very invaluable that my American ass can't, right? He says that discipline is a learned behavior, which turns into an instinctive action. The issue that we have here in America, I don't know what it's like over there, but here in America, we have no discipline. And I think that's kind of the big problem, which is why we have such a resilience issue. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to take a quick break real quick, and I want to come back with you on the other end. But guys, man, share this show. Get the word out there. We're going to be hopefully dropping some good knowledge just to get people on board, because I think we can do better as a society. Guys, stick around.
Budweiser presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
When conventional wisdom said no one could make a hot dog longer than 6 inches, you dared to dream.
Dared to dream.
You knew the limitations of a regular-sized hot dog bun, and you ignored them.
Can't stop me now.
You made a 10-inch wiener, and people cheered.
Oh.
But you weren't satisfied. You said, wait, I think I can still give you 2 more inches.
Gotta want it.
So this bud's for you, Mr. Hot Dog Hero, because you gave every single one of us our fondest wish, a bigger wiener.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, I learned as a kid, no matter how much you pull on or how hard you pull on it, it just ain't going to grow. Love the commercial. All right, guys, welcome back. Monday, episode number 281, Mental Health Monday. Resilience is what we're talking about. 409-245-9753 is the number, or you can continue to write into the chat. Guys, we would love to have you. Laura Harlow says in the chat, she says that I don't know how many bullets I must have dodged just breathing and waiting. Lord Jesus. You know, guys, to fail is deeply human. It is. Everyone, no matter their background, no matter their skill set or their life story, people, everyone, all of us will fail spectacularly at least once in their life. And if it hasn't happened to you yet, I promise you it's coming. It's like being a motorcycle rider. You got two types of riders, the kinds that have laid them down and the kinds that are going to. Same idea. It's not a matter of if you fail, you are going to fail at some point in your life. It's commonplace nature, but it doesn't mean that experiencing major loss or setback is easy or it's fun or that it's widely accepted in a winner-take-all culture that really prioritizes success at all costs, even your mental health cost. But learning to be okay with making mistakes, big or small, that is a critical skill. It's one that's tied not only to resilience, but also perhaps to your future success. I read a recent study, for example, that found that young scientists who experienced a significant setback early in their career, they actually went on to greater success than scientists who had seen early wins. You don't have to pretend that it's pleasant to fail or even ignore the frustration that arises when a goal falls out of reach. Instead, you need to accept the emotions that come with every setback. Be curious about why things went wrong and how you can improve in the future. Practice self-compassion. These are things that can help. You know, in my journey as a professional noticer, I figured out that there's a few ideas that have really helped me hone my resiliency over the years, and I believe that they could help you too if you just stepped out of your comfort zone a little bit with my, and I call it my Fab Five, right? Build your connections, prioritize your wellness, find a purpose, embrace heavy thought or healthy thoughts, and seek help. Simple, right? But I go back to my previous statement. Although it may be simple, doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it's possible. So build your connections. I list that one first because it is the most important. You got to prioritize the relationships of the people that you have in your life. Connecting with empathetic and understanding people, it can remind you that you're not alone in this midst of difficulty. Focusing on finding your trustworthy and compassionate individuals who validate your feelings and who will give you the absolute truth, no matter if you like it or not, the truth that hurts, right? That's what's going to support that skill of resilience. The pain of those traumatic events, they can lead some people to isolate themselves, but it's important to accept help. And it's important to accept support from those people who care about you. An old cowboy proverb. He's a cowboy poet. His name is Baxter Black. He used to say that free advice is worth more than any advice you have to pay for. And I think the reason why is because it's typically coming from someone who loves you, someone who cares about you. Now, whether you go on a weekly date night with your spouse or you plan a lunch out with a friend, you need to try to prioritize genuinely connecting with people who care about you. You know, it's that practice called active listening. You know, I recommend, join a group if you're talking about building your connections along with these one-on-one relationships that we have. You know, some people find that being active in civics groups or faith-based communities or other local organizations, that actually provides them the social support that can help them reclaim that HOPE, that hope. You know, research groups and, you know, find groups in your area that can help offer you the support and the sense of purpose of or even a joy when you need it. That's why I love so much about being a part of the veteran community, because I know that's that help, that support, it's always just a phone call or a line away, because I'm dealing with people who have a great, who have a pretty good understanding of what I went through just when I was wearing my uniform. And some, oftentimes for a lot of people, that's all you need, is you need that empathy. You need that someone to say, hey, brother, hey, sister, I've been there. Here's how I got through it. Not, hey, this is what you need to do. This is here how I got through it. They're going to show you their roadmap. And if you like their, if you like their model, you'll take it. If you don't, then maybe it'll give you an idea of how to handle yours. But you got to foster that wellness, right? You got to take care of your body. You know, it's self-care. You know, it's a popular buzzword. You read it all over the damn place. You hear it on the news everywhere. But it's a legitimate practice for that mental health, for building your resilience. And I think it's because the stress is just as much physical as it is emotional. You know, promoting that positive lifestyle factors like proper nutrition, proper sleep, hydration, regular exercise. These are things that can strengthen your body to adapt to stress and to really to reduce the overall toll that emotions of anxiety and depression will put on your body. You know, there's this, this is something that's been around for thousands of years. And for some reason we continue to, we're making it brand new. I guess here in America, we want to, you know, in our westernized society, we want to look at it and we want to be the creators of all things neat. So we call it mindfulness, meditation, right? Practice that mindfulness. It's something that we all should be doing. You know, that mindful journaling, you know, yoga, other spiritual practices like prayer and meditation. These are things that help people build connections and restore H-O-P-E, restore that hope. And it can prime them to really, you know, by, and by having that hope, that's what helps you deal with situations that require resilience. You know, when you journal, when you meditate, when you pray, you focus on the positive aspects of your life. And the cool part about it is you can always go back and you recall the things that you're grateful for, even during those personal trials and tribulations. But most importantly, man, you got to avoid those negative outlets, the toxic behaviors that we tend to go to when we're struggling. You know, it may be very tempting to mask your pain with alcohol or drugs or other substances, but that's like putting a bandage on a deep wound. I mean, focus instead on giving your body the resources to manage your stress rather than really seeking to eliminate the feelings of stress altogether. When I first came back from Iraq, and I, this is one of my things that I tell people in my speeches. When I first got back, man, I spent the first year and a half drinking about a gallon of whiskey a day. I was putting them down, right? Because I was trying to silence the noise. Really, all I had was a less full bank account and a very empty bottle that I had to dispose of the next day and one hell of a hangover. But I still had the voices. I still had the memories. I still had the stress. I still had all of that negative stuff that I was trying to drink away. It was still there the next day. I never dealt with it. Find a purpose. A lot of people go through this life and they don't have a purpose. They don't have a why. If you want to find a purpose, start by creating something so small as helping other people. You know, just this past weekend, I was driving through town. I saw a homeless guy on the side of the road, and I just stopped. I had a cooler full of Gatorade from because we was working out in the woods, and I said, "Hey, man, are you thirsty? It's hot as shit out here." He said, "Yeah, I'm thirsty." I said, "Would you like a Gatorade?" He took it. You know what? Okay, so I had to pay $2 for a Gatorade, but I gave it to him. That generosity. You know, it was a small token on my behalf, but it meant so much to him that someone thought enough to say, hey, here's something for you. This isn't me tooting my own horn. This is what I'm talking about, helping others. I'm giving you an example. You know, whether you volunteer with a local homeless shelter or you simply support a friend on their own time of need, you can start to garner a sense of purpose and foster that self-worth by connecting with other people and tangibly helping other people. All of these things is what helps empower you, helps you grow that resilience muscle. But you got to be proactive. You're not just going to get resilience because you wished really hard for it. No, you're going to have to work for it. And it's helpful to acknowledge and accept your emotions during those hard times. It is important that you recognize, hey, this is valid. But it's also very important to help you foster that self-discovery by asking yourself, you know, what can I do about this problem in my life? I mean, if problems seem too big to tackle, break them down into manageable pieces. One of the things I used to tell people is if I put a dead elephant in your living room and I'm like, your task is to eat it, how are you going to do it? The idea is break it up into manageable pieces. All you got to do is focus on the next bite. Don't worry about the whole elephant. Just worry about that bite. I mean, here's a practical example, right? If you got laid off from work, you may not be able to convince your boss that it was a mistake that they let you go, but you can spend an hour each day developing your top strengths and really working on your resume, fixing your weaknesses. Take that initiative. It's going to remind you that you can actually muster motivation and purpose even during that stressful time of not having a job. And by building that resilience muscle, it increases the likelihood that you're going to rise up again, especially when those painful times land on your shoulders. But you got to move forward. Develop those realistic goals. Write it down. Do something regularly, even if it seems, you know, like a small accomplishment, like making your bed. It enables you to move towards these things that you want to accomplish. Benjamin Franklin once said that a small leak can sink a big ship. Worry about the little things, and magically, crazy enough, the big things will take care of themselves. So instead of focusing on the tasks that seem unachievable, ask yourself, what is the one thing that I know I can accomplish today that's going to help me move in the direction I want to go? Again, something so easy. Get dressed. Brush your teeth, shave your face, comb your hair, make your bed. Practical example, if you're struggling with the loss of a loved one and you want to move forward, you could actually be proactive and join that grief support group in your area. Look for opportunities for self-discovery. It's not going to come to you. You have to go find them. And people find that they've grown in some respect as a result of a struggle. We always do. You know, after tragedy or hardship, people have reported better relationships with a greater sense of strength, even while feeling vulnerable. That's what increased that sense of self-worth and heightened that appreciation of life. It wasn't until I lost my dad this past January that, you know, I mean, I've always known the value of life, but it was losing my dad. It was that gut punch that, you know, I feel like it's kind of created a better bond between me and the ones that I still have. It's just kind of what I'm getting at. So Stoic Silence says, well, it's almost midnight over here and time for me to get some sleep, ready for work tomorrow. We'll check in next time. Philip, keep spreading the positive messages. Thank you for your service, sir. Brother, thank you so much. God bless you, Warfighter. And hope you have a great week and I look forward to hearing from you. So the last one, you know, embrace the healthy thoughts, right? We got so much negativity in our lives. We got so much stuff coming in at our face at 100 miles an hour. It's like the news cycle is a fire hose of bad news, right? And your social media feeds, it's a cycle of bad news. And somebody just got that sumbitch open, wide open in your face, and you're trying to regurgitate all of it. And it's easy to get lost in that negativity. But I'm telling you right now, embrace those healthy thoughts. Keep things into perspective. How do you think that you can play a significant part in how you feel? And how resilient you are when you're faced with an obstacle. You need to try to identify these areas of this irrational thinking, because what happens up here, that F-E-A-R, that fear, that false evidence appearing real, that takes over for a lot of people, myself included, a lot of times, irrational thinking. But you need to identify them, that tendency to make everything a catastrophe. Right. Or even to assume that the world's out to get you and adopt a more balanced and realistic thinking pattern, because it is there. I mean, if you feel overwhelmed by a challenge, you need to remind yourself that what happened to you, it's not an indicator of how your future is going to go, and you're not helpless. You may not be able to change a highly stressful event, but you can change how you can interpret and respond to it. But you got to accept that change. You got to accept that change is a part of your life. The only thing that changes is, or the only thing that stays the same is everything changes. Certain goals or ideas, they may no longer be attainable as a result of an adverse situation in your life. But it's accepting circumstances that can't be changed. That's what's going to help you focus on the circumstances that you can. Maintain that hopeful outlook. And it's hard to be positive when life isn't going your way. I understand. But you got to be optimistic. That optimistic outlook, that's what's going to empower you to expect that good things are going to happen to you. Remember, I told you, man, this point in my life when I was a kid where everything was just horrible almost always. I held on to the hope because I knew what a good day felt like. I held on to that hope that I'm going to get to see another one. So I guess the idea is that's kind of where we say visualize what you want rather than worrying about what you fear, right? Along the way, you need to pay attention to any subtle ways in which you start to feel better as you start to deal with any difficult situation. You learn from your past. You know, by looking back at who or what was helpful in a previous time of distress, you're going to start to discover how you can respond effectively to new difficult situations. You need to remind yourself where you've been. You need to remind yourself that you're able to find strength and ask yourself really what you've learned from those experiences. I tell people all the time that, you know, you might be done with your past, but it might not be done with you. That's important to remember. Laura says in the chat, she says, yeah, shut it down and go have a phone conversation with someone you care about. That's what we're talking about, that networking, that building and fostering the relationships. Absolutely, Laura. Now, the last one, the Fab Five, although it's number five, it doesn't necessarily mean it's less important than number one, but seeking help. You know, getting help when you need it, that's going to be crucial in building your resilience. You know, for a lot of people, using their own resources and the kinds of strategies listed, you know, they may be enough for building their resilience, but at times, an individual may get stuck or they may have difficulty making progress on their road to resilience. I always tell people, man, that head shrinker, that licensed mental health professional, that's going to be the person who's going to help you develop an appropriate strategy for moving forward. Find those healthy ways. In the land of no ideas, the man with the idea is king. So therefore, go find your king, go find your queen, and ask them. There truly is not a thinking flow chart. If this happens, then this happens. No, a lot of stuff that we do in this life is just kind of made up as we go. But it's important to get professional help if you feel like that you're unable to function as well as you'd like, or even to perform basic activities of daily living as a result of a traumatic or a stressful life experience. But you got to keep in mind, different people tend to be comfortable with different styles of interaction. And to get the most out of your therapeutic relationships, you got to feel at ease with that mental health professional or that support group. You need to feel that connection. If you don't have it, don't waste your time, save your money, and go find one where you can get that connection. But the most important thing is to remember you are never, ever alone in the journey. While you may not be able to control all of your circumstances, you can certainly grow by focusing on the aspects of life that challenges or life's challenges that you can manage with the support of loved ones, trusted professionals. Guys, we're just about out of time. Got a few minutes left on the show. So, hey, I'm going to go ahead and take my last commercial break. We're going to jump into my final segment, One Final Thing. Stick around.
Waking up, getting out of bed isn't as easy as when you're, you know, an 18-year-old. That's just another challenge, you know. I want to be remembered as someone that had a go, tried his hardest, gave his best, but also made mistakes. But as a result of those mistakes, became a better sportsman. But not just a sportsman, a better person as well. Had some highs and lows, but definitely learned from everything, and it's definitely made me the sportsman I am today.
All right, so I want to leave you with one final thing this Monday as you jump into your new work week to start that new month. But before we do, I want to get this one. So Tammy says, asking for help was the hardest things are one of the hardest things I've ever done because I knew that the help that I needed was extreme. Thank God I reached out. Amen, Tammy. Man, because if you hadn't reached out, I don't know where we'd be today, but I'm so thankful that you did because, man, I tell everybody you're my North Star and, you know, you're definitely holding up that line and I'm so proud of you. Now, while resilience, it's a natural human capacity that I learned much earlier, I guess, than some. And as I've said earlier, you know, it's something that you have to discover and you have to develop on your own. No one can give it to you, nor can they really ever take it away. You know, besides hope, resilience is the greatest thing that you will ever gift yourself because it gives you the power and it gives you the strength to withstand anything that this world can throw at you. In my humble opinion, resilience is the most important thing that you can build for your mental health, because that is what's going to determine how you react to your situations. Without resilience in your life, it's easy to lose control over our lives and descend into the mental health darkness of anxiety and depression. When we build that resilience muscle and we weave it into all aspects of our lives, we won't be able to control what happens in our lives, but we can have the strength to control our response to that adversity, to climb out of that hole that we so desperately want to crawl out of. Resilience is something that's there to remind you that no matter what happens to you, you are always more than your circumstances. You have more control over your future than you are, or than you think you do, because you are a problem solver. You are a thing doer. You are adaptive and strong enough to hold on to hope with both hands, because when everything else is gone, that's all that's left. The hope that tomorrow doesn't have to be your today. Damn sure doesn't have to be your yesterday. Life is a grindstone. Whether it grinds us up or whether it grinds us down or polishes us up, it really all depends on what we're made of. Stay strong. Keep your faith and never let go of hope. And if you need perspective, I want you to think about this. As of today, you have survived and you have overcome all of the worst moments that have ever happened in your life, and you are still here. And I'm proud of you for that. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for me. Thank you so much for tuning into this show that seeks not only to provide that middle ground analysis, but to remain consistent with the inconvenient truth so many people refuse to see. We have a resilience shortage in our life, in our society. We are the only ones who can get that resilience back. So until next time, friends, thank you so much for your service. Thank you so much for your patriotism to this country or wherever or any country that you're in. Thank you so much for being the person that you are, because without our men and women in uniform, our veteran community, and great Americans like yourself, man, it'd all be a very different place, wouldn't it? We are the only ones who stand between freedom and chaos. So, friends, don't let your dog tags dangle in the dirt. Stay on your feet and continue to fight that good fight against everything that's wrong. If you love your freedom, thank a veteran. If you love your peace, thank a police officer. God bless each and every one of you. God bless the United States of America. Take care of yourselves, friends. Catch me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. Until next time, friends, Lord willing and the creeks don't rise, we'll see you soon. Take care of yourselves, friends. My name is Philip Blackman, and I'm out of here.